This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Three things to pray about as we make our journey through the season of Lent, ending in the bright sunlight of Easter morning. 1. This world is not all there is. God is up to something greater than we can imagine. 2. As Jesus was raised from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, the first Christians realized that another world from beyond the grave beckoned to them. 3. Jesus reaches out to all who have wandered from the presence of God. These lessons should unnerve us, change us, and set us on fire. As we celebrate the message of an empty tomb on Easter morning, this is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage, inviting you to join us in our journey this Lenten season.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, April 10th, 2022. Today's message is by Kathy Ellis. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community.
Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning on this blustery Palm Sunday. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I would just like to let everyone know that the pastor got through his surgery okay. It was like a five-hour ordeal, but he is home and he is resting. Well, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We come to praise you and give thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Open us so that his truth and goodness can flow into us and through us to touch the lives of those around us, so that they too might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come this morning in praise of you. We come in worship and humility, knowing the power of your majesty and the love that you have for each of us. As we have celebrated and praised you this morning, waving the palm branches, much as did those in Jerusalem so long ago, as you entered on a morning, perhaps much like we have here today, the crowds worshiped and praised you. A moment of triumph to be followed by a week of fulfillment, ending on Easter morning with the ultimate triumph of an empty tomb. This morning we thank you for the love and fellowship of our family and friends. Let us remember to be thankful for the things that we sometimes take for granted. A warm bed to sleep in, nourishing meals, hot water for showers, cold, clean water to drink and refresh ourselves, the blessings of education and opportunity. As we thank you for these, help us remember those who do without. Bless them and keep them in the palm of your loving, tender care. Bless them and keep them in the palm of your tender, loving care. Keep us mindful that we are your church, that each one of us brings our own special gifts, skills, abilities, and contributions to your ministry in this community, that we are meant to come together to serve you and serve those around us. Lord, we ask your care for all those brought before you today in our thoughts and prayers, joys and concerns. We ask that you be with us in our triumphs and achievements, as well as in our sorrows. We ask your gentle mercies for those whose hearts are heavy today due to the loss or illness of a loved one. Today our world is racked with... Today our world is troubled and full of turmoil, racked with war, economic and natural disasters, mistrust, hate, and fear. We ask that you remember those who have had the tragedy of violence visited upon them. Bring comfort to those who have lost loved ones, who face changed lives because of injury. Please impart wisdom and courage to our local, state, national, and world leaders. Watch over our men and women who serve in uniform to keep us safe. Remember also those who have served and in that service have suffered injury. We also remember and honor the veterans of military service, thanking them for that service. We, however, rest assured this morning that there is hope for the future, remembering and knowing that hope does not rest with men and women, but with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Be with us as we face new beginnings and deal with the challenges of change. And now listen to our hearts as we come to you, each of us in our own way, in silent prayer. Please join me as we pray the prayer that Jesus prayed when his disciples came and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked him, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The word of God for the people of God. Well, here we are at Palm Sunday and the beginning of Passion Week. The dictionary says that the word passion means the suffering of Christ. In addition, it also says passion means intense, driving, or overmastering feeling or conviction, fervor, ardor, zeal, and both meanings come through as we follow the Savior's journey. So Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. He has come up from Jericho, and as he approaches Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sends two disciples ahead, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Clearly, Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, and Jesus' instructions were very clear. Find the colt and bring it to him. Do you think the disciples even thought twice about what they were doing? Livestock was wealth. In the first century, your investments, your inheritance, were typically on the hoof. That young colt was a valuable commodity. So, how would you react if in the middle of the day, suddenly your car alarm went off. And running out to your vehicle, you find two scruffy-looking kids just sliding in behind the wheel, screwdrivers in hand. When you demand to know what they think they're doing, the kids look at you and say, "The Lord needs it." Of course, you smile and nod and hand over the keys. Right? Maybe not. Maybe you're already calling the police. Maybe you're going to give them a little shot of pepper spray. The disciples who went to claim that colt were asked to take a risk, don't you think? But they did not hesitate, even though the owner did ask why they were untying the colt. So why did they do it? Because the Lord asked it of them. You must admit, there is an art to borrowing a donkey. The Lord had made other requests in the past that must have seemed just as extraordinary to them. Jesus asked his disciples to gather scraps of food so he could feed a multitude. Jesus asked his disciples to go fishing in empty waters. Jesus asked his disciples to stay calm during a life-threatening storm. Jesus asked his disciples to leave their families and security to follow him. They did all these things and more because the Lord asked it of them. For most of his ministry, Jesus tried to hide his identity. He often referred to himself as the Son of Man. And when others tried to worship him or spread the good news of his miracles, he told them to keep silent. He didn't want their praise or publicity. Not yet, anyway, because his time had not yet come. But now is his time. As he makes his way to Jerusalem, the time's at hand for him to reveal his mission. Jesus knows what's waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knows he will be betrayed, crucified, and buried in a borrowed tomb. But he has a mission given to him by the Father. The mission was to redeem a fallen world, and there's no turning back now. Palm Sunday is Jesus's big reveal. God's time has come. The time of preparation is over, and the time of presentation is at hand. This is where he presents himself to the world as the Messiah. Jesus needed that colt. He and his disciples had probably come by foot all the way from Galilee. But now, for the last 2 miles, he wanted to ride a young donkey. And why? Jesus was deliberately acting out the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, which states, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." When the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus, they threw their cloaks on it and then helped Jesus on. Then, as he rode into the city, the people spread their cloaks on the road, waved palm branches, and they began to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The people of Jerusalem were longing for a king, praying for a king, a descendant of their greatest king, the great warrior King David, riding a great horse with sword in hand. They called this king they were awaiting Messiah. Well, of course, Jesus was the Messiah, but not the kind of Messiah they were expecting. For one thing, he didn't say anything about overthrowing the oppressive Roman army. Neither did he speak about reestablishing the house of David in all its glory. "My kingdom is not of this world," is what he actually said, but they were not listening. Remember how Jesus told the disciples to inform the borrowed colt's owner that the animal was being taken because the Lord had need of it. Perhaps the need Jesus felt was to use a symbol that spoke not of might and majesty, but of humility and service. The spindly, skittish little creature Jesus used to ride amidst the crowd could hardly inspire awe or fear. Thus, while the crowd cheered his entrance into the city, the visual image Jesus projected was of humble service. Luke's narrative clearly paints the picture that this was a divinely orchestrated event. There's good news here. You see, when God has a plan and a purpose, nothing can stand in his way. If God says that his kingdom is coming, then it's time to join in on the preparation. Those two disciples learned the art of borrowing a donkey because they trusted the one who gave the instruction. The one thing I always knew about my mother and father was that they were trustworthy. Looking back, I know that what I learned were the core values of life: honesty, caring for others, being willing to sacrifice, never taking yourself too seriously, or thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, working in a way that is worthy of your pay. Those core values. And much of my character are a direct result in that I trusted my instructors, my mom and dad. Earlier, we sang the hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." It's a favorite gospel hymn of many, but there's great substance there. To trust the integrity, the validity, the authenticity of Jesus. To have a faith relationship of trust. To take, or to begin to take, or to have taken the leap of faith toward complete trust in Jesus. Nothing is more important than that. Well, that's the picture of it, isn't it? An unflinching trust in the one who is the instructor of life. You know, we're needed. Every last one of us is needed. Even those of us who feel no one needs us, or those who believe they have nothing to offer that anyone would want. Our gifts and graces from God are needed by God. We are to offer what we have and who we are with courage and trust, and to follow through with prayer and perseverance. The same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is to fill us. The ministry of caring love, lived out by Jesus, is to be lived out by us. On that Palm Sunday, Christ rode upon a donkey. He was welcomed with palm branches, hallelujahs, and hosannas. The drama had to be played out. The divine drama. The drama that gives hope to a sinful humanity. This is God's Son laying down his life to rescue a dying world. Palm Sunday is the beginning of what we have come to know as Holy Week, when we remember the passion and death of our Lord, the week that changed the world. Jesus didn't come into our world to rule over us, but to redeem us. He is our Savior. We have peace that comes from knowing that because Christ came into the world, our sins are forgiven. We have been set free from the power of sin and death. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen. And now, may the light and love that is Jesus the Christ fill you and be experienced by everyone you meet. Have a blessed week. And please join us for coffee.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.